Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have an important show, one I'm looking forward to. We have a special guest who's going to, I think is going to be speaking about a topic that's very timely. We're going to be speaking with Mr. Dylan Charles, and he's a self-mastery and self-sabotage coach, and he's also the editor of Waking Times and host of the Battered Soul podcast. He's a truth teller and passionate advocate of personal liberty. His journey of self-discovery began 20 years ago when he chose personal responsibility over dependency on psychiatry and pills and began studying Kung Fu to free his body, mind, and spirit from self-sabotage. His perspective is heavily influenced by his work with the shamanic plant medicines from Iboga and Ayahuasca. And today he lives in Asheville with his wife of 25 years and his three children. And today we're going to speak about, I think, topics that resonate with me, and I think my listeners too, Mr. Charles. And personal responsibility is something that it takes courage, frankly, to do or to live by, but it's all about liberty, and it's about taking responsibility for your actions. And I happen to think that if we were able to do that, we wouldn't be run roughshod over by the powers that be and governmental control, which is taking over everybody's lives. So I'd like to thank you so much for joining me today. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you, Elena. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you come at this from somebody who talks the talk and actually walks it. And you have a lifestyle that I think most people need to look at and take some, I guess, solace in. If you control your own destiny, you're less likely to be driven by crisis, by fear, by anxiety. How did you come to this mindset? Because I think it's a skill, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is a skill today. And just listening to your comments there, the first thing that comes to mind is that it seems to me it's harder than ever to control your emotional state. So, you know, you had mentioned that I refer to myself as a self-mastery coach, and that means a lot of things. It can mean a lot of things in different circumstances. But I think the foundation of it, like the central core of that to me, is emotional self-mastery. Because so much of the decisions we make, so many of the choices that we make in life, have to come from a place that is expansive in nature. If we want to achieve our goals, if we want to pursue and make progress towards the things that really really light us up, that are really valuable to us or important to us. So the first part is emotional mastery. Excuse me. And so, in that regard, I think it's harder than ever, right, to overcome the fear, the anxiety, the doubt. Now, the uncertainty, the worry, the self-doubt, the confusion, the anger about the things that are going on in our world. So it's more important than ever to learn the skills of letting go of those lower emotions and navigating your way through crisis to crisis in a way that still allows you to expand in a world that seems to be contracting. So,
well, that's, you know, I get it. I think you live your life that way. But how do people disconnect? To me, one of the main drivers of this is the media. And people who are listening and plugged into that fear level or that low energy state, seems like they're overwhelmed and they cannot see a bigger picture. So is what's your perspective on the media? Is that a driving factor? Because we're certainly not together like we used to be. People don't really congregate. They don't talk around the cooler anymore at work. So where's this coming from?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting question because I've been part of the media for over 10 years now. I started a website called WakingTimes.com in 2011, and it really was an opportunity for me to express some of the things going on in my personal journey, but in the context of truth, in the context of global truth, in the context of exposing and understanding the systems that really govern our lives and corral us into decision-making processes. So in that regard, like when I look at it these days, I think that I personally feel like the media is the problem. Like it is the number one thing because what it does, of course, is it it serves particular interests. You know, it serves the propagandists, it serves the corporate propagandists, it serves, party, bipartisan politics. It services all that, but in a way that stokes fear, in a way that stokes, just terror, really. I mean, I've been watching this stuff since 2001 when September 11th hit, and ever since then, it's been just a nonstop drip stream of crisis to crisis and fear to fear. And so, again, you'd ask me about my journey. I mean, my journey was basically, I was stuck in all of this. I was stuck in, typical conservative media. I was stuck in the standard American diet. I was stuck working a job that I hated 40 plus hours a week. Really, I was working close to 80 hours a week. And I hated all of it. And so that drove me mad. It drove me towards drug addiction, alcoholism, porn addiction, drove me towards just like self-destructive behavior on every level. And so when I went to help, it's like I went to help within the paradigms, within the channels that we have around us, which is the doctor, the psychiatrist, the psychologist, all that kind of stuff. And I went through all those channels to find help. And ultimately, all they wanted to do was drug me. When I was 27 years old, a psychiatrist wanted to put me on 7 psychiatric medicines a day. That's insane. I asked him how many years I was supposed to take this, and he was like, well, we'll get the dosage of this one right, and we'll work this one a little bit different. We'll wean you off of that one over some time when this problem goes away. And it's this whole algorithm he had, he wanted to apply to my life. And it struck me as so odd, as so uncomfortable, as so just anathema to happiness and success that when I walked out of his office, I just had this flash of inspiration to dump all the pills in the trash. And so that's really when, that really was the first time in my life when personal responsibility became something that was like, I was driven to take personal responsibility for it because I realized I was out of options. You know, and that's what rock bottom really is. It's being out of options. It's about being none of the medication that you that you use to escape from things work anymore. None of the excuses that you tell yourself work anymore. None of the ways in which you hide from yourself work anymore. All of that just is expired. None of it works. And so what are you left with? You're left with the choice of giving up, or you're left with the choice of taking responsibility. And I know a lot of people who haven't, who failed that test, right? You know, if there's a path before you, a fork in the road, I know a lot of people who have gone down the road of forfeiting their responsibility, and externalizing authority to their lives with people in supposed places of authority. And so it never ends well. The happiest people that I know are the ones that have healed themselves, who are the ones that take responsibility for their health. I mean, health is the foundation of all your success, of all your prosperity, of all your wellness. And so that really is the beginning. So regarding the media doesn't promote health. They promote fear and terror, and then they lead you directly into corporate solutions. And we all know how that works. And so if you ask me, if you were just talking to me on the street, I would say that, yeah, the mainstream media is the number one problem in our world. Because if you take that out and if you remove that, Elena, it's like people are left without somebody telling them what to think, And so human beings, especially in this day and age when life is so crazy, now we've got inflation and all these other stresses in our lives. So we're all working very hard to get ahead. Like the speed of the hamster wheel, the rat race just accelerated quite a bit. And so everybody's looking to make life easier. Can I get more convenient dinners? Can I get more convenient, shopping? Can I get more convenient this, more convenient that? And so when you have this force in your life that's always telling you what decisions you should make and telling you where you should put your money and your power at, it's just kind of easy for people to just give it all away. And I don't think people realize what they're missing. But yeah, from my perspective, media, big problems, got to go. But I don't see a way that we can do that. Just because of how the system is built. And so that's, again, you're back to yourself. It's up to you. If you feel that call, if you feel that call to take an adventure in your life, if you feel that, call to find out who you really are, the call to adventure in your life, to step out of the ordinary, to leave the shire, as they would say, right? If you feel that call, then it's really up to you. It's up to you to seek out the opportunities, the ideas. It's up for you to seek out the ideas, the wisdom, the guides, the teachers that can help you on your path. Everybody has a different, unique path. And so, in a sense, once you realize that you are responsible for your life, none of the media, none of that stuff matters anymore. You're just here placed on this beautiful blue planet, and you're in charge of walking your path. And so that's really what I teach people, is that given all the distractions and everything, since I can't really make it go away, then we have to navigate it as best as we can. And we're all striving for the same thing. We want freedom. We want happiness. We want connection. We want sovereignty. We want autonomy. And these are the things that we inherently want, the things that are, you know, drive us as human beings. And so in order to get that in this day and age, you have to vacate the system. You have to leave the system and put all that behind you and, you know, really explore your own path.
I think that's a great place to stop because that sets the foundation for what we're going to speak about. So let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Dylan Charles. He is the founder of editor of Waking Times and the host of Battered Souls podcast. Mm-hmm. People can go to his website, wakingtimes.com and dylancharlescoaching.com. Now, Dylan, before the break, you were doing a wonderful job of giving us a real overview of what the importance of this love of self and removal from a system that's not in our favor. And I just want to just confirm and just double down on what you said. We are so caught up in people telling us what it means to be healthy, what it means to be happy. And I noticed one commonality. It never involves the person. It's about what they can buy, what people think about them. It's totally outside of the actual individual. And if someone gets to decide your worth, what you look like, makes you special, who you sleep with makes you special, all these dumb things which are outside of soul, then you're going to be, you know, really being buffeted by whatever crisis comes to because you don't stand for anything. That's what it seems to me.
So, right, you're absolutely right. People don't stand for anything unique these days. And I say that it sounds like a generalization, and I just kind of mean that as a generalization. Mm-hmm. But in reality, like people know what drives them. They know what means most to them. They know what they value. They just haven't taken the time, from my experience working with people as a self-mastery coach, like people haven't taken the time to sit down with themselves and really like ferret out that information, like dig it up. Like, what do I really care about? Who really am I? What are the experiences that have brought me the most joy in life? What are the things that make me cringe, right? What are the things that I don't want to do? You know, what are the situations and types of relationships that I really value? So I think everybody knows this inherently, but the complexity of our world today, especially with, you know, I just wrote an article about this today, actually, leaning on a friend of mine, Paul Check, his work. He talks about, you know, the dangers of living in two realities. And I think that's where we're stuck. One of the realities is the natural world. You know, that's the elemental world, you know, earth, wind, fire, water. You know, these are all elements that work synergistically to create life, to create vitality, to create chi, right? The life force energy that drives us, the life force energy that makes life carry forward into the next generations, right? And the other reality is the digital reality. So you can look at a facsimile of a tree. You can step into the metaverse and put your goggles on and look at a tree, right? And if someone were to ask you if that was the whole tree, you might be duped into saying that's the whole tree. But in reality, the tree has a backside. It's got roots. It's got a top side, a left side, a right side. It's got what's happening inside of the tree. And it's got the connection that make the life of the tree possible are all around in the soil or all around in everything else. So it's connected to everything else. There's much more to the picture than we can see. And that's really one of the things I love doing with people is helping them to see like the whole picture of their lives. Like, where are they stagnant at? Where are they stuck at? What are they avoiding? And a big one, Elena, is what are they prohibiting from themselves? Like, what are they not allowing themselves to feel or express? Like, what's, and oftentimes it's something that brings them tremendous joy. You know, what is the one thing that, you know, that brings you joy in life? And that's usually the thing that people bury the most, that they repress the most, that they push down, they try to, because they have this idea that, you know, you mentioned the word self-love. They have this idea that other people are supposed to win. Other people are supposed to succeed. You know, it's selfish in a way, right? To want to pursue your dreams and goals. And so it's in a sense, like all of this information is already there for everyone. It just gets buried in this world that we're in. And when you're living in the digital reality, it's so out of touch. There's nothing in there that feeds your body with vitamin D. There's nothing in there that fills your soul with connection, right? So it's a knockoff, if you will. And so if you spend enough time in that world, which we all do, I mean, you and I are using technology right now to communicate. But if you spend enough time in that world, you find that you become further and further, you get further and further away from who you truly are, who you truly could be. Unless you're moving with intention and intentionality, unless you're using technology as tools, unless you're really organizing and planning your life in such a way that you can make progress towards your long-term aspirations for your life. So that kind of dovetails into something that I work with on people, which is self-sabotage. I mean, self-sabotage would be any kind of behavior that you engage in, that you do, that you don't, that you know you shouldn't be doing, that you don't want to do, but it's behavior that contradicts your highest goals, like your dreams, your aspirations, your desire to live a great life. And so I think these two are very, very closely connected, you know, because in the absence of knowing who you are, in the absence of having a clear plan for your life, you're really at the whim of the environment. And so one thing I really focus on when I teach people is, and I'm actually doing a class on this here in a couple of weeks, but it teaches people how the mind really works. It teaches people how the mind really, how the mind is triggered chemically, is triggered emotionally to operate in levels of functioning where long-term thinking isn't available. So you end up using the reptilian brain, the mammalian brain, to where you're thinking emotionally and thinking about your most immediate pressing needs for survival, for security, and these sorts of things. And we've been under at least 2 years of very, very acute chronic stress around our sense of security, mm-hmm. our sense of survival. And so these things are taking its toll on people in a physiological way. So it's making it more and more difficult for people to actually see into the future. It's making it more difficult for people to think long-term, to make decisions that would have the best long-term impact in their lives. And so that's really something that we're losing sight of right now. And I think the stress, and especially with the pivot to the Ukraine crisis now, I think all of this is just exacerbating the problem that it's difficult for people these days to think long-term about the life that they want to create for themselves. But that's what they deserve. That's what they deserve out of this experience. No matter what happens, no matter what happens with the economy, no matter what happens with war, pandemics, whatever, none of that matters because all of us, you're here at this particular time. That's the challenge of your life, right? The challenge of your life is to find peace and purpose and happiness right now underneath, in the middle of this storm, no matter how stormy it gets.
I want to take off on what you just said. It seems to me, too, that you just described the natural state of what humanity, what it means to be human. It means to be mm-hmm. pursuing your God-given destiny and your skills and your gifts and talents. But it also seems that they know this. And the way that we've been indoctrinated is that if you want mm-hmm. to be your own person, somehow that's against everybody and you're selfish. They really did mm-hmm. a number on people. Take one for the team, go along to get along. I'm just paraphrasing, but the main thing is you should sublimate yourself into the common good because otherwise you're selfish and you're horrible. And so people want to be good. And so they just went, it kind of put it on steroids, didn't it? That feeling of, I have to forgo what makes me happy in order to help my neighbor. And if you love your neighbor, mm-hmm. you'll basically sacrifice yourself. I mean, it's all sorts of weird mind control stuff that's been going on.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's a critical point, Elena. So in a couple of weeks, I'm doing a masterclass, I call it, on self-sabotage. It's called Crack the Code of Self-Sabotage. And I mentioned this now, not to shamelessly promote, although that's okay, but just to point out, like, what I really talk about in that class is the secret that's being used against all of us all the time. It's basic science, psychology, basic understanding of the mind that most people don't know. And here's what it is, right? Most of our behavior is driven by the subconscious mind. People think that they're making decisions for themselves. People think that they're doing things out of their own volition, but it's not exactly true. And the corporations have known this. You know, it started with Edward Bernays and all of these people learning how to work themselves into the minds of the masses in order to sell products, in order to create political change and these sorts of things over the last century, right? Mm-hmm. They're using very basic psychology to get what they want out of your life. And you can use that very basic psychology for yourself to get what you want out of your life, right? And so the thing is that the subconscious mind, when we're young, it serves as a survival mechanism. It's what keeps us alive. Think about it. You know, as a 2-3-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid, you can't defend yourself from a bear. You can't defend yourself from an attacker. You can't plant crops and grow food or slaughter a cow. Like, you can't do these things. It's physically impossible, and you don't have the skills and knowledge to do so. But you have to eat, you have to be safe, you have to be fed, you have to be housed, you have to be sheltered, all these sorts of things. So what do? You're born into a tribe of people. In order to be accepted and continue to be accepted by this tribe, you can't go too far out of the realm of, like, you can't venture off into your own extraordinary behavior. Like, you have to fit in, you have to blend in, or else you would get kicked out of the tribe. And so as a child, think about that. A child doesn't have the conscious awareness to think, oh, I'm going to blend in now with this tribe, no matter how dysfunctional mom and dad are, no matter how much they drink or fight or whatever it is that they do. I'm going to blend in with these people. I'm going to imitate, mimic them, copy them. But a child doesn't have the wherewithal or the consciousness to do that, you know, consciously. So what's happening there is the subconscious mind. It's an automatic process of survival seeking, right? So it looks at what's going on in the environment. It looks at what the tribe is doing. And it's always scanning the behavior. It's always scanning what it sees. It's always scanning for messages. And it's a very simple mechanism in a way, because whatever it sees repeated, it thinks that that's the okay behavior. It thinks that that's acceptable. It doesn't have a moral compass. It doesn't know what's right. It, you know, and a good examples of this, of course, of Germany in the 1930s. I mean, there's so many, you know, I wrote about this recently, you know, the experience in Rwanda in the 1990s, right? You know, they killed 800,000 people in a month's time or so, all because people thought that that's what was the thing to do, that was to be safe, to fit in with the tribe, right? So that's really the fundamental thing that I start with when working with people in self-sabotage. The things that you do to destroy yourself, you're doing because you learn those. It's learned behavior from what's happening in our environment, right? You learn those, you know, and so that's the secret that they're using against you. That's why there's, 100 Coke commercials and 10,000 Coke billboards everywhere, because they know that if they can get that message into your subconscious mind more than once, more than twice, 10,000 times, that you'll think that drinking, you know, 18 tablespoons of sugar or whatever, 5 times a day in a can full of, you know, fluoridated water is the right thing to do, because that's what everybody else is doing. And so I really help people to see how the mind actually works in this regard. And so once you realize that, once you grasp that, you can say, hey, I'm not a child anymore. I'm an adult. I can operate with a different level of psychological maturity. And so you can treat the mind as an operating system, and you can program behaviors and attitudes and belief systems into that mind, into your mind, to get what you want out of life. And I'll tell you, like, I can't go up to anybody and say, hey, your core values are this, this, and this. I can't tell people that. I can't tell people what their core values are. They know what their core values are. They may not be able to tell you themselves until you draw it out of them. So there's an inherent drive towards evolution in people, right? And this drive is so, I see this in so many people, it's just stuck, it's stagnant. They're stumped on repeating the same things that they see other people doing, repeating the same beliefs, ideas. I mean, you saw this with COVID. It was ridiculous how many people would tell you to read the science, but they're not reading the science. They're literally just listening to what's happening on CNN, MSNBC, yeah. Fox News, whatever. They would go out and tell you that. I remember when the idea of segregating people for not being vaccinated first became popularized. It was Don Lemon and these people on CNN or wherever those ghouls live and work at. But they basically were like, yeah, you know what? No jab, no job, no jab, no grocery store, no jab, no this. And then so next thing you know, I got people in my neighborhood, people down the block from me telling me that that's a great idea.
My goodness.
It's not their idea.
No. Well, yeah. let's take a break and chew on that for a second, because we talked about how the children work. I want to ask about the adults who should know better. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Dylan Charles. Again, you can go to his website, wakingtimes.com. And I think this is really important. You need to check out his dylancharlescoaching.com, because these are skills that we can learn. You don't have to be party to this system that's working against you. And before the break, Dylan, we were talking about how children can be basically controlled to not know what normal is. But what excuse do adults have, physicians, for example, who are scientists and who do have access to truth? They're some of the worst, the healthcare field, at perpetuating this, knowing that they're working against the interest of the patient, themselves, and ruining lives. I mean, honestly, let's be honest, but there doesn't seem to be a conscience about this. What's up with that? Because this is a willful, in my opinion, a disregard that's conscious in order to go along, get along. And is it money? Is it the fact that you're a special protected class? Is it the power? What is the thing that's driving this public health, you know, cabal?
I mean, I look at it as, you know, first of all, like, you know, regarding children, right? So it's a survival seeking mechanism in children. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's what they have to do. It's how they learn from the environment. They mimic, they copy, they imitate so that they fit in and blend in. To stand out amongst the tribe runs the risk of being kicked out of the tribe. You run the risk of having to support yourself, defend yourself, feed yourself, all these sorts of things. So the safe place is with the tribe. Now, people who are strong, people who are confident, people who have high self-esteem, they find it easier to individuate. They find it easier to be themselves and to go against the grain and to speak their minds, right? So the whole system that we have very much, it kind of hinges on keeping people weak in different ways, right? So financial weakness, health weakness, it just goes on and on, right? So regarding doctors, I mean, the way that I see it is that those are some of the most brainwashed, closed-minded system, you know, Matrix, Agent Smith type system people out there, because if you look at how the medical system is structured in the United States, I mean, Rockefeller and Carnegie took over the system of medicine in the early 1900s, right? So they ran out homeopathic doctors, they ran out naturopathic doctors, and those whole systems of medicine, which we had depended on for, you know, however long prior to that. So there's, you know, pros and cons to Western medicine, but the paradigm of Rockefeller medicine was literally to drive these people out of existence, to bring everything under the umbrella of certain schools, you know, certain institutions, to where the solutions could be provided in a for-profit way. It's essentially how it works, right? Mm-hmm. So over the decades, like, the elitism involved in these institutions has just expanded. Like, they've just, you know, it really, really triggers something primal in people, because, you know, if you actually look at, which one is it? It's not the Stanford Prison Experiment. It's the Philip Zimbardi's experiment with, I'm drawing a blank here, but, oh yeah, it's the experiment where they electrocute people.
Oh, right, yes.
I don't know why I can't think of the name. I've written about this 100 times, but anyways, in this experiment, they wanted to find out if, basically putting someone in a lab coat with a clipboard was enough to convince someone else, was enough to make someone else potentially kill another human being. And that's what they found. People defer to authority. Like, it's within our, it's in our psychological makeup. It's very easy for us to defer to what we believe or perceive as authority figures. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the whole system of medicine, they're always dressing people up in these white coats. They're dressing people up. They put the stethoscope around them. They put the whole program around them. Pfizer sponsors everything on TV. They just build them up and put them on these pedestals. And so to be part of that tribe is one of the safest places that you could be in the world today. Think about it. It's one of the safest, most secure feeling places that you could possibly be in the world today. So I know there's good doctors out there. And I don't know if all doctors are, I know for sure that all doctors aren't, you know, willfully denying people care or doing harm to people. But look at the numbers. I mean, I just quoted an article from CNBC yesterday about how the third leading cause of death in America is by what they call, quote, medical error. People just making mistakes. It's the third leading cause of death. Most people don't know that, right? So you ask what the difference is between children and adults. Well, to me, it seems like a process of psychological maturation, right? We don't have a connection to avenues of personal development that allow us to evolve beyond our childhood psychology. I mean, I've written about this in the past at Waking Times as well. You know, like, literally grown-ups now will call regular life, Elena, they'll call it adulting, right?
What?
It's adulting now. It's challenging, right? It's hard to do. God, I just want to sit in my mom's basement. I don't want to have to adult. And it basically means don't take responsibility for anything. Right. And that's what a child does. A child doesn't have any responsibility for anything. If it is, so long as the child blends in and fits in and doesn't speak up and doesn't stand too high above the others, mm-hmm. you know. And so in many, many traditions and cultures in the past, there's processes of initiation. There's process of spiritual, psychological growth. I mean, one of the plant medicine traditions I'm part of, the Bwiti tradition from Western Equatorial Africa, I mean, they place a high value on the initiation of young males, initiation of young females. They have a specific ritual that they take people out into the jungle and they move their psychology forward. And that's all about the experience of confronting your fears, of recognizing that this isn't a safe world. You have to take responsibility for what's happening in the world. Your life depends on it. Other lives depend on it. It's a process of growing up. So it's really, really is about moving from not having responsibility to taking responsibility. So as an adult, no, it's not an excuse, but it's a byproduct of the just kind of, just disappointing way we look at personal growth in this world. And unfortunately, and I don't think things are going to get better anytime soon. And this is why people have to really take it in their own hands. But unfortunately, they're not telling you how to grow up in the news. They're not telling you how to become a better person. They're not telling you how to, expand in ways that make you more valuable to your family and your community. And they don't even tell you like to protect your health. I mean, look what just happened with COVID. I mean, they refuse to tell people to take vitamin D, to go outside. Instead, it's the opposite. Isolate yourself. Stay indoors. Yeah. These things are absolutely they're deadly to our health. I mean, isolation and loneliness is a massive killer in our world today. I mean, the statistics on it are crazy. I have to go back and look them up again. But what isolation does to people is crazy. Like it basically deprives their will, their energy, their life force to live. We need other people. We need these things. And so the system isn't promoting that. And so to be part of the medical establishment is one of the safest places that you can be in our society today. And so the people there, it's like they're running programs on their mind that allow them to willfully right below the conscious level to exclude lots of different information when it's called for. To exclude lots of different circumstances when it's called for, to be cold and callous and calculating when it's called for, just to maintain status. Because look at what's been happening. Mm-hmm. If you speak out, you lose your license to practice. If you speak out, you get fired. If you refuse the vaccine, you lose your job. I mean, you know how much money it takes to become a doctor. These aren't fly by night people. I mean, they have their whole lives invested in this experience of being a doctor. And so it's just, to me, it's one of the most protected tribes there is.
You know, I would make a couple of corollaries to that. And I would say the most protected class is the academic healthcare professional, not the private practice person. And ultimately, those who believe in the Hippocratic Oath don't feel safe. I mean, it's a whole different mindset of taking an oath that supersedes somebody telling you need to work against the interest of your patient. That means nothing. So those two things are the things that are driving in a public health sector, which is tied to the academics and the national health policy part of it. Follow the money. That's all you have to do. And it's all one big puzzle and they're all interlocked from the time that you watch a commercial during the news to the time that someone's telling you to do something like not go outside or take vitamin D. Or tell you can pass something when there's no symptom. That's the first respiratory illness I've ever seen that you can pass when you're symptom free. These things just make no sense. But thank you you really did a wonderful job of explaining the healthcare side because I'm in it and I can see it and it's just demoralizing in some instances because you can see it coming and you know how wrong it is. Let's look at the patient side and we're going to take a break in about 3 minutes, but I want to start the conversation about. You have an article called Stage 2 of Mass Psychosis Taking Hold. Mm-hmm. I can understand at the beginning of this because it was so overwhelming and they were really good at the narrative. But now we've lived through a year and a half or two, and we're seeing that it's not what they said it was. It's not as deadly. It's not passed the same way. These supposed treatments really are not the answer. How do people not, and there are a growing number of folks who are like, well, why am I doing it if it doesn't stop X, right? But how do we get to the point where people could totally now, seeing what, I know there's suppression and censorship, but there's people who, everybody knows somebody at this point who has lived through this and it wasn't what they said it was going to be. How do people still continue to stick their heads in the sand?
The answer to that, Elena, is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter now because they just shifted the whole story. Right. And that's really what the article was about. Stage 2 bad psychosis with it. They just completely shifted the crisis. They just moved us from one crisis to another. And so now it doesn't matter. 2 months ago, I had people telling me, like people that I know that I've been friends with for a long time, cussing me out because I don't want to put this vaccine in my body. Right? You're a pariah to society, this and that. You have an obligation, blah, 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 blah. So there's never in the history of the world, as far as I know, been a medicine that I need to take to keep somebody else safe. This is a first, right?
Yeah.
You know, this doesn't, it's never worked that way. So I would stand against it and I would be told, you know, like you're this and that, by the brainwashed people, right? You know, they're literally brainwashed. So now it doesn't matter. I mean, I can go have that conversation with anybody and they're pretty much like, yeah, yeah, right, whatever. But Ukraine, we're on to a different crisis, right? You understand? Like this is the stage two of mass psychosis means that they just turned up the frequency and changed the, they just changed the caliber of it and turned the frequency of it up, right? Mm-hmm. So now what we went from everybody freaking out and panicking about COVID to now everybody freaking out and panicking and calling for World War III, which is absolute insanity. Like the amount of people that are, you know, like, wow, so it sounds like we're going to have a nuclear war. Like it's no big deal, mm-hmm. right? So in other words, like, attention goes where energy flows, and our attention goes wherever the mainstream media goes. I mean, apparently. So if that story, if that the whole COVID narrative wasn't making sense to people, well, now it doesn't matter because they just changed the story. They just changed. We're not talking about COVID anymore. Believe whatever you want to believe. Do whatever you want to do. Take the stupid vaccine or don't take the vaccine. I mean, you got the CEO of Pfizer out there this week going, 4 doses are necessary because 3 doses don't work. He just said that like yesterday.
I read that.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that doesn't matter to people right now. Now people want a solution to Ukraine because that's what's on TV.
Well, let's take our last break because maybe we can short circuit this because it's not, to me, the narrative is already blowing up about this new crisis. It's not really, people aren't buying it like they think that they want us to. So let's take our last break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Mr. Dylan Charles. And before the break, Dylan, you've been doing a great job of explaining the, you know, look over here, the shiny thing. It's supposed to be everybody.
right.
But, you know, I don't think COVID's necessarily going away because I foresee, and I hope I'm wrong, but this whole spring break issue where people are congregating and they're going to have, I'm sure the numbers are going to go up and we're going to go back to, we're sliding back into everybody needs to stay away from each other and put the masks back on. It was almost like a pressure release because things were getting really hot with everybody really realizing that this isn't working. We're not doing this anymore. And Canada and the trucker convoy, et cetera, it was really changing a lot of what people thought. Do you think that if they tried to start up going backward, that they're going to get some real pushback with the next variant and the next virus, et cetera, that they are really pretty much telling us they're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You may very well be absolutely correct about that. You know, before the crisis up-leveled to Ukraine and World War III, we were wondering that. They're going to take the pressure off for a little bit and put us all back in masks and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I've been involved in political activism. It's been a long time. I went down that road and participated in that and learned a lot from that and realized that wasn't the arena that I needed to be involved in. But I don't think that people have any way to express and really get change happening in the world. Like, people don't really understand how to make change in this world. So I don't know what they're going to do. If they tell us to wear masks again, I guess people are going to start wearing masks.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, it should be obvious to people right now that we're going to survive it, you know, like we're going to be okay, you know. And when the CDC says that 75% of the deaths, if the death numbers are even accurate, which they're, you know, if you're looking at the science, like the statistical science of it, like all of that stuff should be in question to people who are really, you know, interested in truth. And then they say that, you know, that 75% of the people who died had 3+ comorbidities. Mm-hmm. You know, so you'd think that we'd get to a place where people would see through it. But again, mass psychosis, right? It's the abandonment of rationality. It's the abandonment of logic, right? It's the extreme adherence to the herd, the dominant herd, the perceived dominant herd, the dominant tribe, the go along to get along. But sure, I'll oust all the Jews in my neighborhood because that's what is going to keep me safe, right? That keeps my belonging to the tribe that has the power right now. And so, yeah, what we're going to do, are they going to take us back there? Gee whiz, I hope not. You know? You know, I truly hope not, because I'm sick of it.
I'm telling you.
And everybody's sick of it.
Absolutely.
I've had COVID, whatever. You know, I've had the new flu, as I call it. You know, I've had that, whatever. It was a pretty serious flu. I haven't had flu in 10 years, whatever. It's no fun, whatever. But I statistically am not in any danger of, like, death. And I've gotten sick plenty of times in my life, mm-hmm. and haven't had to, like, completely re-script my life to conform to these ridiculous mandates and freedom-ending tyranny and stuff. And just to prevent myself from feeling sick for a few days. It's ridiculous.
Agreed.
So, yeah, I hope you're right. I mean, I hope you're not right. I hope they don't go back to doing this. But, you know, what I see the problem is with the new narrative is that, again, it goes back to the media, Elena. What I see the media doing right now is incredibly troubling to me, because whether or not people are too concerned about Ukraine yet, what I see in the media is, you know, just even this day, even this morning, you have people on both sides of the political aisle calling people who have, you know, questioned the morality of the American empire, mm-hmm. For whatever reasons, for any of our escapades in any other part of the world, for any of the destruction that we've been, you know, part of, all of a sudden, like, they're calling these people treasonous, right? So when you slip in, if we go to war, right, treason becomes an actual crime. Like, people will be rounded up and potentially executed for treason. And so that's why I call it, like, stage two of mass psychosis, because it's an up-leveling. It's pretty difficult to arrest people for not wearing a mask and execute them for not wearing a mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to exact political control over a population, you have to instill fear. You have to have it top-down controlled. You have to have the ideas being disseminated into the place. And you have to let people know who the dominant tribe is that they're supposed to adhere to and follow. And so right now, I already see this in the media. I see it fracturing in the media. A lot of people like Tulsi Gabbard was just called treasonous by Mitt Romney, whatever. Mm-hmm. They got this, you know, stupid high school, you know, stuff going back and forth where they pick on each other all the time, whatever. But you know, now they're calling Tucker Carlson. Not a fan of it. I'm personally not a fan of any of these people. I'm politically a conscientious objector to the whole political system. That's where I stand. But you have the two sides, one side's calling the other side treasonous already. And then you have people on one side calling for the assassination of other world leaders. Then you have other people calling for no-fly zones and stuff. And there's a very clear path to all-out global war. And now everybody's saying it's going to be nuclear, iodine sales, you know, potassium iodine pills are like sales, or, you know, supposedly you can't even buy it anymore. Everybody's stocking up on iodine pills because everybody's getting ready to be living in nuclear fallout.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scary thing to me, right? So whatever happens with COVID, it's going to become a backdrop to the ratcheting up of the tension, the fear, the uncertainty, the insecurity, right? That to me is that the more insecure someone feels, the more likely they're, the more capable they are of defying their own sense of rationality, logic, common sense, morality in order to not stand out, in order to go along, to get along, right? So, like, to me, like, the level of fear that's gone up, and it could be about anything, right? Even if it was a new disease that was potentially more deadly than COVID, which wouldn't take much for that, you know, right? So, like, whatever, like, the fear now went from the fear of dying from a disease with 99.5 plus whatever survival rate to, you know, a nuclear winter by Christmas time.
That's a big jump.
But yeah, that's a huge jump. And so what that does to people, and this is core to the work I do as a self-sabotage coach. So I work with people on a one-on-one basis. I do group things, like I'm doing this this masterclass here in a couple of weeks. But when a person is afraid, okay, and keep in mind, when a person is afraid, they lose access to the part of their brain which is their long-term thinking. They lose access to the prefrontal cortex. The brain shuts down into lower modes of thinking. The mammalian part of the brain, it is really the place where emotional-based thinking takes place. It is the place where we bond with society, with our groups, right? And then below that, the reptilian brain, it's where our base, you know, modes of survival come from. Do we run or do we shoot, right? You know, what do we do? And so the thing is, the subconscious mind, the mind itself, doesn't know if something's real and really happening. Everybody doesn't know the difference if something's real and really happening, or if something happened on TV or in a movie, or if even you thought about it. In other words, and I know you know this, everybody listening to this knows this, you can send your emotional state into abject fear and anxiety just by the thoughts that you have. That creates the same physiological reaction that you would get if somebody put a gun to your head. It's the same thing. The body doesn't know the difference. So in that state, in that physiological reaction, which is often referred to as fight or flight mode, and sometimes freeze mode, right? You lose access to your long-term thinking. You think short-term, you think emotionally and not logically. You think survival. What is my most immediate pressing concern right now? What is it, the thing that I need to do to stay alive for the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 days, 10 days, whatever. Mm-hmm. So your whole paradigm shifts. And so to me, what I see is that the chronic triggering of the fight or flight response mode in our world contributes to people feeling stuck, to feeling stagnant, to feeling helpless and apathetic, to feeling cynical, to feeling overwhelmed. Because these are all responses to fight and flight, right? These are all departure from our ability to think clearly and rationally and forward thinking through the path of what will lead us to our greatest life. And so, like, this is really one of the cores of self-sabotage. Self-sabotaging behavior is the behavior that seeks instant gratification. It's the behavior that seeks instant survival, instant security, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't think long-term. It doesn't make long-term decisions for your happiness. And so the fact that the fight or flight response was triggered for 2 years continually with COVID, and now it's gone to nuclear war. I mean, it's if for the unconscious person, they don't stand a chance right now. They don't stand a chance. You have to understand how the mind works. And when you understand that, you can recognize, okay, I physiologically am in fight or flight right now. This isn't good for me. Stress is the number one killer. It leads to all kinds of diseases and anomalies and poor health. Like, the World Health Organization talks about this while at the same time creating stress. Like, it's stress is the number one killer. So when people are in stress, they don't think in terms of their values and their morals and their long-term goals. They think on what it takes, what it's going to take to survive, to fit in, to blend in. And that's why, you know, like, the psychosis aspect of it is people will do anything. It brings out the absolute worst in human nature on a group level, on a social level, but also in your individual life. So people seek self-medication now more than ever before. Pills. I mean, the amount of pills that people are popping today is insane. Alcohol. Alcohol is in every corner of every street and every restaurant and everywhere. It's there for you. It's there when you need it. If you don't like what's going on in your life, if you can't handle your own emotional state and sobriety, just head to the bar, get yourself a drink, a nice cold one, and you're good to go. That'll fix that right up. Entertainment, pornography, all of that stuff is there to take people away from the pain that they feel.
Well, Dylan, I know this, you're just getting rolling, and I really need to have you come back because you're just scratching the surface. But I do want to make sure that people know how to get your information for the seminar that you're putting on, because I think it's important. Okay. This is right on time, actually.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate that, Elena. So it's March 27th, Sunday, March 27th at 1 p.m. and then April 3rd at 1 p.m. Sunday as well. It's a two-part masterclass on self-sabotage. It's called Crack the Code of Self-Sabotage. You can go to my website, Dylan Charles Coaching, and scroll down there. There's a little like thing with a button and stuff that you can push that'll take you right to all the information that you need to know to sign up. In part one, we're going to talk about why people self-sabotage. So this really is the code. And the main two things there are because the mind and brain are consistently triggered into being fight or flight mode, putting yourself into a state of mind where short-term thinking is all that you have access to. Okay. Right. And the other aspect of that is that the subconscious mind is seeking, it wants to fit in. It seeks approval from the tribe. And so it looks at what it sees as repetitive and determines that that's the safeguard to play. That's why people are imitating celebrity culture and getting tattoos on their face. And, you know, that's a major part of what's going on. And the second part of this masterclass, we're going to talk about solutions, specific types of self-sabotage. Now, what they mean and how you can overcome them, right? So once you, it's very important. The education process about the mind is absolutely critical, because what I do is I use a lot of really fun, interesting examples of group psychological experiments. I use examples from stage mentalist, stage hypnotist, and these type of people who are able to predictably get hundreds of people to draw the same picture on a piece of paper at the same time while they're all located in different parts of the world. How does a person do that, right? So I show people that, like, the way that the subconscious mind is programmed is very predictable, and that predictability means that you can use that in your favor. So it's good news. So it's a complete run through of the things that you can do to turn this around in your life. So you stop avoiding situations. So you stop procrastinating. So you stop eating junk food at night after you worked out in the morning. So you stop sabotaging your financial wealth by making poor decisions, overspending, chronic debting, these sorts of things, that you learn where the programs came for that are driving the chaos in your relationships, the instability in your family. Like those are patterns, those are programs that came as holdovers from your childhood. So I help people to understand how they can look deeply into their lives to figure out why they do what they do, and I give them the tools to change that.
Dylan, thank you so much for coming on. I mean, it's all about taking your power back. And actually, there's skill set that you're going to be able to learn by taking this masterclass. So I hope you would come back in the future. I really enjoyed having you on.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really enjoyed talking to you today, Elena, and I would love to come back. So thank you.
Awesome. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.